about right believing. Right believing is very important, because if we don't have a right belief, especially on what God's word says, man, we are in big trouble. And it can just lead us up the garden path. You are a human being. Isn't that interesting? You're not a human doing. You don't have to do anything to become a human. You are a human being. When it comes to Christ, you are meant to be a believer. It's a consistent state of life. If you are not a human being, you are probably dead or not born yet. If you're meant to be a person with two legs like us. But if you're in Christ, our human existence as a being continues on as a being believer. Isn't that incredible? Yeah. Now, I'm not going to go on with that. I've got a lot to say on that, but I'm not going to do that today. But what we need to look at is the relevance of being a believer in the right frame and the context of the Word of God. Because if we don't, we get into trouble. I'm going to, where am I starting, Mash? You got those slides up there? Can't believe I haven't even got my notes on here. Doesn't matter, I have to work off the screen. The importance of believing correctly and knowing Jesus correctly starts with what Jesus said of himself. And there's so many things that he said of himself. He said he was I am so many times. And the things that he talked about, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has sent me, anointed me to do certain things in Luke chapter 4. There's other things that others wrote things of Jesus in the scriptures. And it was right from the book of Matthew right through to Revelation. There are so much written in there that concern who Jesus was and is. He never changes. What he was yesterday, he's the same yesterday, today and forever. So we must believe that firmly and solidly, because it tells us straightforwardly of what Jesus was, what he came for, what he died for, what he rose again for, and who he is. And he lives forever interceding on our behalf. Isn't that just amazing? Just his very presence at the throne of God. He's the only high priest in heaven that went into heaven for us, into the holiest of all, in the holy of holies in heaven, right in the presence of the Father, there at the right hand of the Father on our behalf. And the testament to that is his blood sprinkled around the cleansing, the heavenly sanctuary, and on the heavenly mercy seat that happened between Mary and when he came back and said to the disciples, touch me. He went up into heaven with his blood. It tells you that in Hebrews. He said, don't touch me, Mary. And then later on he came back and he said, Thomas, touch me. Put your hand in my side. He had to go up there untouched by human hands and present himself to the Father as the perfect sacrifice, and took his blood with him and sprinkled it on the heavenly vessels in the sanctuary up in heaven. There's what the word reveals about him right from Genesis all the way through. He was there right in Genesis, and we've got to see what is said about the Lord Jesus being a believer of Jesus correctly. We need to know his name. We need to know his faithfulness. We need to know his eternal nature, his lordship, his heart, his promises, all that are there for us, but none of them come about unless we believe correctly. And being a believer is an active verb. It's a verb word that tells you straight out, you've got to act on it. Who he is, and all we've come to know of him, and our personal relationship in him and with him is so important. There's so many people believe in Jesus. There's so many people who have given their lives to Jesus at an altar call. They never develop that intimate knowledge of God. Now, I talked about this a couple of weeks ago when Peter, in chapter 2, or 2 Peter 1, said, add to your faith, and went on with those attributes. If you do these things, you will never, ever be wanting in the knowledge of God. Man, I hadn't seen that before, but it's so important that we know that. It's part of our believing to do what the Word says. Next slide. I've already covered some of these. So he said, this is one thing. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So the words that Jesus spoke of himself are very important. We have to believe them fully and get them functional in our lives, that we just don't just believe them with our head. We believe them in our heart. That everything he said of himself, everything he came to do, everything the scriptures write about him is an active principle for us to live by. All right. So what do we believe of his own words? Next slide. When he said, I've come that you might have life, he'd already said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But is so important. I've come that you might have life. The devil had had enough ground on the planet up till then. But unfortunately, he's still got a lot of ground because people don't believe in Jesus. The victory, the overcoming of the devil, the capacity to live a life in full, whole, victorious living in Christ Jesus has been available for over 2,000 years. And what are men and women doing about it? Oh, I don't believe in God. Well, serves you right. Look at the mess you're in. If you believe in Jesus, that's a part and parcel of the provisions of God being released into our lives. And it's so important. Next slide. This is probably one of the biggest areas of Christian ignorance. And I find people have got no idea what Paul wrote about in 2 Corinthians 2, where he said that we should know or ensure that Satan is not able to outsmart us, outwit us, or take advantage of us. He's a roaring lion. Seek him whom he may devour. As a roaring lion. Not he is a roaring lion. He's a counterfeit lion. There's only one lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah. But he goes around as a roaring lion, making a lot of noise. And he's looking for people that are devourable. And that's not just people outside of Christ. That's mostly Christians, I reckon. He's got a lot of people out there already. But he's after the other ones. And so what he's looking for are people that are easily ensnared. People that are faltering and fumbling around in their Christian walk. He considers them devourable. Where are we? Where are we in that? My profession, wherever Satan's trying to interfere in my life, is I'm going to give you the greatest guts ache you've ever had if you try and get hold of me, because I'm not devourable. So bug off in Jesus' name. And it's just that sort of positive confidence, because I am a believer, proactive. And there's no way in the world, if he wants to mess with me, he's going to wish he'd never started. Because my believing in who Jesus is what gives me the capacity, the authority, the overcoming power, and the right to stand against him. Because the Word of God says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. It doesn't say assist the devil. And a lot of people do that because they won't let their lives change for the glory of God. They hang on to habits. They hang on to attitudes. They hang on to all sorts of things in the past. And they're assisting the devil, and they are being taken advantage of. They are being misused and abused by Satan in all of that. Their lives are a shamble. Their lives are a mess. They go from one catastrophe to another simply because they haven't learned to stand on the Word of God and stand in the real faith and the input of Christ Jesus and what he gave us through his Word and through his promises and through his cross. Man, wasn't that awesome there this morning? Woo! Boy, I should have give Kerry the microphone and said, keep going, kid. Talk about fired up. So, so, so good around that table and the worship. Just that first song. Man, how could you not just get lost in that? And I love the way that girl sings. She's not your typical church song leader, church leader, worship leader. She's just into God. And she's so straight. She just there and she just brings Christ in the presence of God. And we're here, miles away from wherever she sung that by video, the power of God and the anointing of God just comes in the same capacity. So good. So good, eh? It was awesome. And so we need to be on guard and aware of his efforts and schemes to get into our lives and wreak havoc. And if we're not aware of these things, then the devil has a field day with people who haven't got a clue. If you haven't got a clue, get one. Get into the Word and see what it says. I'm hoping I can give you enough today to make it happen. And whoever's listening to this on the, online or on whatever it is we put out there on our site, get into the Word of God. See what Jesus says of himself. See what the Word says about him and see what it's how he transfers what he is and who he is into us. We often sing songs that he has overcome. Well, so what? I think sometimes he overcame so that we could be overcomers. That's what it is. We don't just honor God because he overcame. I look at it and I go, man, Jesus, if you hadn't overcome, I couldn't have been an overcomer. And I sing that when we sing, he has overcome. I think, I have overcome and in Jesus, in his name. I change it round as a profession of faith. I love it. Next one. So that's what Jesus said. He said, the thief comes to steal. What's he going to steal? What's he looking for? What can be stolen? Get your thinking caps on quickly. Your joy. Perfect one. Joy. How many miserable Christians are there? They've lost their joy because they haven't fought for it in Jesus' name. What else can be taken? Peace. Your peace, yeah. Your what? Hey? Our faith. He will try and wreck our faith because, oh, no, God never did that for you, and he'll tell you lies. You know, it's interesting that the Word of God is truth. Jesus said he was the way, the truth, and the light. People listen to the lies of the devil and believe him. I cannot fathom that because the Word of God tells me there was no truth found in him. He's a liar from the beginning. And he comes along and says, well, you're never good enough. And we believe it. Oh, God will never accept me. I'm just, oh, yeah. What I've done, I've had people say stuff like that to me. I'm going, that's a lie of the devil. He can't tell the truth. So why are you listening to him? He cannot even vocalize the truth. And he won't because the truth is not found in him. Oh, wow. So people letting things get in their way in their lives and all sorts of stuff and believing all of the nonsense that he wants to infiltrate us with. Our joy can be stolen. Our peace can be stolen. Our sanity can be stolen. He can make us get into anxiety and get into depression and get into things because he infiltrates our mind and he infiltrates our heart and he gets in there where the issues of life stem from. And we learnt last week or the week before guarding our heart with all diligence because we need to keep our heart pure and spotless and in line with God's word, not with anyone else's word. We've got to be so careful, even with the stuff going on around the world today. There's so much going on with IT and whatever it is that people look at, FaceAche and YouTube and all those sorts of things. And I don't have a FaceAche account, by the way, so not into that stuff. But I'm telling you, and they think more of that than they do of thinking of the Word of God. Why? It's not the truth. They tell you all sorts of stuff on there. Jared was talking to a guy the other day that we know well. And he said, oh, where do you hear all that from? He says, oh, from the news. And Jared goes, you don't believe that stuff, do you? He says, well, they wouldn't put it on the news if it wasn't true. Are you kidding? Are you kidding me? The news is probably 99.9% untruths or mistruths or expanded truths, not the real truth. The real truth only comes in Christ and through his word. He can steal from us physically. He can steal from us emotionally. He can steal from us in so many ways. And if we're not aware of that, how can we fight it? We need to be fully aware of that. Like Paul said in that verse in Corinthians, I'll come back to that later. We've got to be aware. Next one. He comes to kill, steal, to kill. Comes to kill. Boy, what's he going to kill? Any ideas? It's probably a little bit harder, but there's plenty of stuff that he wants to kill in your life. He wants to kill your future. Sorry? He wants to kill your faith off. He wants to kill your trust. He wants to kill any of the power of God working in your life. He wants to kill off anything that you've learned. It's like when Jesus told the parable of the sower. Some fell among thorny grounds and it sprang up and choked the word out of their lives. You know? And that'll happen so easily if people don't do what the word of God says. And even with Joshua leading the children of Israel into the promised land, he said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth." Man, a list of laws. Are you kidding me? But it was given by God for their well-being and their living right. They didn't have Christ then. This is what God's principles are. Live by them. He said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate, think on, chew over, digest day and night, for then you will make your way prosperous, then you will have good success." But did they? No, not at all. Not at all. They just completely failed and failed and failed because they ignored God's principles. And it's no different today. We were given thanks before for the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our worship. Thank you, Lord. We've been empowered with a far greater than they had. They had a list of rules. We've got the Spirit of God, where the Word of God promised, "I will take the stony heart out of your flesh and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put your," not the written law, but the laws of God and His life and His love and His greatness and His goodness in the tablets of our heart. Whoa! How good's that? But we've got the Holy Spirit to teach and lead. But people don't listen to the Holy Spirit that much. I mean, guilty so many times. "Oh, God, I'm sorry." Even just in the fact where God prompts me to talk to someone or share something, or there's an open door to say something, and I wait for 30 seconds and the opportunity's gone and you never get it back. Or very rarely. We need to be proactive and not let the devil steal our time. Huh? Huh? Had any time stolen lately? Wow. Yeah. Because we're not diligent enough to be stewards of all that God's given us. Our finances are stolen because the devil ensures that in every which way but loose, we can earn wages, but it'll go into a bag with holes, as it prophesies in Haggai. What? You know, he wants to make sure that we don't prosper or get ahead, so he steals. It's just one of his ploys against us. And we cannot be ignorant of his devices. We need to plug up the gaps, plug up the holes, and plug up with the word of God. It's the only thing that can. If we don't know how to stand against the devil with the word of God, in the name of Jesus, Satan, don't you ever touch my life, touch my family. Don't you dare think about, you know. And man, I've got mad with him sometimes. Absolutely mad. And I've had to, because he's just on the prowl constantly. On the prowl. He doesn't renege. We sit down and we go to sleep and we think, "Oh, that's good." Get up the next day and, "Oh, well, did a good job on that one." Yes, I tell you what, you got another challenge the next day. That's why your mercies are new every morning. Because you've got a sneaky roaring lion out there trying to get the best of you at every opportunity. And Paul wrote, we have to be aware of that, of his devices, of his schemes, and to destroy. What does he destroy? Man, I've seen lives destroyed. I've seen marriages destroyed. I've seen people's sanity destroyed. I've seen, why do you think there's a drug industry out there? It's destructive. Who's doing it? You know, oh, gee, it's a good idea. I might try these drugs. You're on a path of destruction, empowered by the prince of darkness himself, which is Satan and the liar. And he makes you think it's good, and wow, it's going to do so much for you, and it's going to kill you. I was talking to a guy on the phone the other day up in Queensland. He came to our church a while back. He lived in Sunbury a few years back. But he's now in a home up on the Sunshine Coast. And what drugs have done to that guy's life. Yeah, he's just an absolute shadow shell of what he used to be. Because he thought he was going to get on and get ahead in life. Man. And I'm still in touch with him. He still sends me texts every now and then. And I still try and encourage him. But, you know, and he says, oh, yeah, I've lost my Bible. Can you send me another one? I'm running out of Bibles. Not really. But, you know, he really does need the empowerment of God in his life and to be set free. And if you think of Brett Stretter at any time in your life, just confess his name, Brett. In the name of Jesus, I confess he's set free, that he's been restored, made whole, healthy, healed, and brought back to full sanity, and that the devil's trying to destroy his life and kill him off will not fully eventuate because the power of God is greater. Man, that's my confession over his life. And I say it to him when he rings me up. Brett, the power of God's greater than what you've done. The drugs might have knocked you out, but God's a restoring God. You know, it says, I will restore the lost years in the scriptures, that the canker worm has eaten, that rust and moth have taken and destroyed and corrupted. There's a restoration in God. I mean, and Jesus said, I came to give you life more abundantly, but the thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. Think of those things and work on what he's trying to steal, kill, and destroy in my life, your life, and our lives, and stand up for it, against it, in the name of Jesus. Speak it out and tell the devil, there's no way. There is no way. He destroys families. Man, I tell you, I've seen marriages destroyed. I've seen families ripped apart because this mongrel gets in there and just totally creates chaos and havoc in the family, and people don't talk and people don't relate and people won't have anything to do with each other anymore. That's a ploy of the devil to destroy what God created to be holy, righteous, and pure. And the marriage is a typical of the union between Christ and his church. Why do you think the devil wants to wreck them? He hates looking at marriages, especially Christian ones, because it reminds him of there's a union between Christ and his church. You got a good marriage, man, I'm telling you. That's what he's absolutely wants to rip apart. He just hates it. He hates it with a passion. In many cases, he succeeds. But try again. Man, I tell you what. God is more than enough. He's more than enough. Takes two to tango, but we need to both come into alignment and in agreement and stand together in the faith of the Son of God. Wow. Okay, move on. See, this is it. You see, Christians constantly going through the same. Mightn't be the exact same drama, but they'll go through problems and they'll go through things over and over and over again, never seeming to be able to conquer or to walk in the victory that Christ promised. Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians 2:11, do not allow Satan to take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices, schemes, and ways. How ignorant have the church been of Satan's ploys over the years? How much of us have been taught that he's got these schemes to bring us undone? In this instance, prior to that, Paul was talking to the Corinthians, and in 1 Corinthians, it was revealed that there was a guy there that was in a bad relationship, adulterous, incestuous, or whatever it was, and he was delivered up to be corrected, all right? In other words, let him go his own ways. Deliver him up to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, Paul wrote. Now, how that worked out and how that, I don't know. But here, He says, now take this guy, embrace him, love him, forgive him, be all that Christ wants you to be to him. Because if you don't, you're cutting yourselves off from the life of God flowing through you. And Satan, through that, will have an advantage or take advantage of you. Whoa. We can't hang on to unforgiveness. We can't hang on to regret. We can't hang on to bitterness and anger and things that have gone on in our past. If we don't deal with them, Paul says Satan will take advantage of us. We've just basically turned around and said, here I am. That is so dumb. There's a door named Jesus Christ. Keep it shut. Stay in the sheepfold and don't allow the devil any access or any way into your life through holding on to past experiences that have been negative. Get rid of them. You'll remember them, no question about that. But you forgive, and I tell you what, the memory is just one of, that was a silly part of my life. Or that was a crazy part of my life. God delivered me out of that. Praise you, Lord. And it becomes a point of overcoming and victory. Hear what I'm saying? Him that overcomes. There's a lot in past lives that people won't let go of, therefore they never overcome. There's a lot in people's current lives they won't get rid of or deal with. They never become overcomers. What have they done? Here I am. Come and get me. How dumb is that? Be aware of Satan's devices and don't let him get an advantage in our lives. Man, that's so amazing. So are we or are we not ignorant or wise up to Satan's devices? Took me a long time to work it all out. Maybe I was a bit thick. Maybe I was a bit, wouldn't learn. I don't know. But I tell you what, once the penny dropped, so to speak, and the Word of God became so alive and who I am in Christ Jesus had never been taught to me as a younger man. And how I had authority and how I could walk in the power of Christ and how I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above principality, power, dominion, and might. What's that referring to? The wiles of the devil and his devices. Far above the rulers of the darkness of this world. Boy, oh boy. The Bible tells me Satan has been under my feet. Preachers used to tell me, how have you gone this week? Has Satan got on your back? Come out and get prayed for. You go and get prayed for and you walked out and you didn't feel any different. Sometimes getting prayed for is good, but sometimes getting prayed for is a waste of breath. Now that might sound sacrilegious, but I'm telling you something. If you're not walking in faith and believing God to set you free for yourself, you can have every ministry in town praying for you. And if you don't stand on your own two feet and do what's right before God, the prayer will just fall off the preacher's lips and onto the floor because you're not receiving, because you're not believing. Wow. How important is it to believe right? Put it into practice. Next one. Thanks, Mash. When you're talking about normal warfare, you know, if there's going to be an imminent attack, usually people know, unless you've gone to sleep behind the wheel, so to speak. Generally, if there's a war on, every bit of intelligence that one side can get over the other side will give them an advantage. Now, if there's not a war on and you're not taking note of what the enemy's up to or what people are doing around you, you'll end up with what happened to Israel last year. And they had to then gather their troops together and get everything ready. But if they had any intelligence on that it was going to happen, man, they'd have been ready. Those guys would have come through down the bottom part of Israel there and found themselves a brick wall of the Israeli Defense Force. But the IDF were asleep. Ah, oh, Israel's not at war at the moment. Everything's good. Party time. Do-do-do-do-do. Come through. And they were totally unguarded. That's what happens with us if we don't know what the devil is up to and we're not constantly listening to the voice of the Spirit of God. He'll warn us. He'll teach us. He'll caution us. Take it easy. Watch it. Get that gut feeling. Let the peace of God, it says, rule in your heart. And how many times have you had that inner breaking? Don't even think of, don't go there, don't think of you. And we do it anyway. Because we're not listening to that still small voice. It doesn't come along and hit us over the head. Say, left dog, wake up, don't go there. No, no, no. He's a gentle, small, still voice waiting for me to respond. And if I'm not listening, I miss the cue. I miss my intelligent source warning me, guiding me, leading me, or directing me. It's a similar principle. Man, when I was in Bible college, Hal Oxley, who was a colonel in the Second World War, he led troops out in the Middle East there and told us so many stories on the principles of warfare and then applied them to Christian life. Man, blew me away how that when you're in a battle, there's a constant threat all the time. You cannot ever let your guard down. And he brought that into the spiritual realm as a constant threat all the time. Don't ever let your guard down. Most Christians don't even know where their guard is. It's a word of God. It's a word of God. It has to be paramount in our hearts and lives. How much can you recall of the word of God when there's a challenge in your life? Man, it comes out of me like a machine gun. Never used to, but I had to recognize what I was missing and what I was falling into because of not having that. And having that word in my heart and in my life and being able to just allow the Spirit of God to bring back to my remembrance whatsoever things I have learned. I can't learn it all off parrot. I can't learn it off by that. But I've got to put it in there. I've at least got to devour it. I've at least got to absorb it. And then the Holy Ghost comes along and he goes, remember? And I'm into it. Out comes the word of God that's in there. I only need a jog of that particular, I might only need one or two words off the verse, and I'll just flow. And that's it. That's an important part of having the word of God filling our hearts and filling our lives, and not memorizing it off pat, verbatim, because that way you don't learn the reality of it. It's like you can teach a parrot to quote scriptures, but what good does it do the parrot? Nothing. A lot of people are like parrots. They learn scripture verses, but they don't understand. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I remember learning that as a kid when Richmond AOG was in Richmond Temple in Bridge Road. And we had to learn it as a memory verse. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Man, I tell you what, we learnt that back then and didn't mean a thing to me. It was just I was good at learning memory verses. But I tell you what, many times I've had to use it. Forget not all his benefits, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Wow. Wow. That is so important to me to be able to bring back the scriptures that I know are God at work in my life. God all-powerful. It's just incredible. So we need to be like the armies. If we know there's an attack that's imminent and the Holy Spirit will warn us, then we can be fully prepared and get the upper hand. And he comes along and he tries to do things, and I'll tell you what, if we're prepared, he'll regret every moment of it. Every moment. He hates being beaten. But in Christ, we have the upper hand every time. Next one, Anthony. The importance of all we learned and shared in the last couple of weeks was to prepare us in order to know Jesus as we should, so that we can be fully armed and prepared. 2 Timothy 3:11, verse 14. 3, verse 11 to 14. But as for you, actually I didn't get 11 in there, doesn't matter. Continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from a childhood you've been acquainted with the scriptures. His grandma used to read him and teach Timothy the scriptures, and Paul knew it, but because he knew that word. He knew the Old Testament covenant scriptures. Man, isn't that incredible? Jesus found himself in the scriptures when he was a young boy. He found himself in the scriptures and then knew he was the Son of God in human form. Whoa. And then at the age of 12, he goes down to the temple. He says, I've got to be about my father's business. Don't worry about me, Mum and Dad. You could have gone on without me. I'm here disputing with the scribes and the Pharisees. I want to do my job. Wow, isn't that incredible? And the scriptures that he knew were Old Testament, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. The New Testament hadn't even been written at that stage. And here he was, Paul, telling Timothy, the scriptures you learned from a child are able to make you wise to salvation. Soteria, the provisions, power, protection, and covenant blessings of God fully. Wow. Through faith in Christ Jesus. In other words, those old scriptures still had power when combined with our faith in Christ. Whew, man. How good's that? All scripture was breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, for training in righteousness or right standing, that the man and woman of God may be complete. Did you see that word? Complete. Fully furnished, prepared, and equipped for every good work. Notice when I preached on 1 Timothy 2, where it says, add to your faith, and it went through virtue, goodness, and all those other things. The words add to in Greek was furnish yourselves alongside your faith with these godly qualities and characteristics. Fully furnished for every good work. I love that. I love that. How's your furnishings today? How are we standing in our furnished stand for God? Do we have all of what the scriptures tell us to carry with us? As I mean, a lot of people know about the armor, but they don't know about the rest of the things. You know? In the armor of God, a lot of people just think of the sword and the shield and the feet and the helmet, and then it also includes one other. I'll come back to you on that one. I might be up here next, so I'll just see. All right, so next one. Fully prepared, not lacking any good thing. James 1:4, allow steadfastness. Man, no shakiness. Endurance, continually going on. Perseverance, don't give up. And patience, to have her work of perfection in you, so that you may be perfect and entire. Complete and prepared, lacking in nothing. Wow, how good is that? I tell you what, God doesn't do half a job with us. He gives us the complete package. Isn't that awesome? Next one. We're nearly done. So we have been made fully complete in him. I think that's Colossians 2, 9 and 10. Fully capable and able have we been made in him. That's a scripture that mentions that. We're not lacking in any good thing. We're fully sufficient, strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Man, how good is that? These are things that God has provided for us to walk in and to live in and to overcome in and to be strong in, to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the armor. Get furnished. Get ready. Get prepared. The armor is all part of the word of God. The last one in the armor, I thought it was there, but it wasn't. When it goes through the having your feet shod with the preparation of gospel of faith, and above all, the shield of faith. And then the next one says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That's never ever brought up as part of the armor, but it's a complete package. Without that, you fall short. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit is just as important in the armor as the sword, the shield, the helmet, the loins go with truth, the feet shod, whatever. It's so important. Continue on. The importance of knowing Jesus correctly also includes walking in the Spirit, walking in love, walking in forgiveness, walking in patience, walking in goodness. Against these things, the Scripture says, there is no law, no restraining force of any description that can stop you from practicing any of these attributes that are godly attributes by walking in the Spirit. Next one. I've gone on to take up the whole armor. And then it says, and having done all, doesn't say take up one or two and then you'll be right. It says when you've done all, when you've got the lot, when you're fully equipped, when you're fully furnished with all that's available to you, doesn't stay quiver in your boots. It doesn't say you can go to sleep now. It doesn't say that you'll be right, nothing will come against you, and just chill out and take it easy. Nah. It says stand. 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 Having done all, stand. Come on, Satan, give it your best shot, and I'll paste you from here to eternity. Oh, yeah. Why not? In fact, I'll help you get thrown in the lake of fire. Don't you even cross my path once in the name of Jesus. I'll talk to my Father about being an assistant when you meet your demise. I get cranky with him sometimes. No, I know that's not totally biblical, but I just like to give him a hard time. And that's amazing how it builds up your faith, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, the Scripture says. Building up yourselves. Got nothing to do with me here on Sunday except I give you a shot in the arm. You get out there. You're facing the world. You're facing what the devil wants to throw at you. You're facing the trials and tribulation problems of life. You have to build up yourself in your most holy faith. It's your duty and job to have that. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. It's your job to get that inner intestinal fortitude where it needs to be to make you the strong person God wants you to be in him. Don't do anything else. Don't be shaky. Don't get scared. Don't even quiver when you think the devil's going to have a go at you. Yeah, there's things like sicknesses and diseases. Oh, I've got to go to the doctor. Yeah, so what? So what? You know, I've been to a doctor a few times lately. I had a bit of a, you know, they send you around that test thing for bowel cancer, and you got a, oh, they sent me back. They said, oh, you had blood in one of your samples. You got to go and get a colonoscopy. I rang up. I said, don't be ridiculous. I don't have to do nothing. They wouldn't leave me alone. So I said, all right, I'm going. So I get there. They said, are you worried? I said, no, of course I'm not worried. Then, how do you know it's going to, you know, you're not going to have this negative result? I said, because I'm in the hands of a living God, not in your hands. I said, I'm only in your hands for a couple of minutes. I'm in his hands for life. I said, just do what you got to do and let me get out of here. I said, I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him, which is me, my life, unto him against the day of my departure when Jesus comes back. I don't care which comes first. I just know that I'm in his hands constantly. And they could not believe my, you know, said, oh, you know, it's really, really amazing. You know, and then they say, oh, you got, okay, no, no, no. They go through a checklist of 45 things or whatever it is. I don't know. Have you got this? Have you got the, no, 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 no. And then they look at me. Are you sure? I wouldn't have said no if I'm not sure. It's no, no, no to everything. Just go on. No, no, no. You know, oh, how old are you? Nearly 75. Are you sure you're telling the truth? I am telling you the truth. Nothing, nothing, nothing. No, no, no. Because why? I've done all. I understand. And if there is any form of sign or sickness or any disease comes along, my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I'm His and I serve Him. And in the name of Jesus, nothing shall infiltrate this temple except the power of the Holy Spirit, because it doesn't belong to anyone else. It doesn't belong to sickness and disease. It doesn't belong to Satan. In the name of Jesus, I command healing and wholeness to remain in my life. Wow. That is what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Being strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Next slide. Add to your faith, as I said, be furnished in every aspect of and nature, of the nature and provision of God. Ensure you have the very best of God's provisions for your life. His promises are yes and amen. They're not, well, maybe we'll see about that later on. No, it's yes, yes and amen. He's not a man that he should lie. He makes a promise, he keeps it. We rest in him, we're secure in him. We're fully then rooted and grounded in love because of who Christ is in us, and we get to know him correctly. Next one. Man, I'm having a ball, I don't know about you. But this is another part. I have been made holy and acceptable beyond reproach in his sight, it says in Ephesians 1:22. You who were once alienated, separated from God, in other words, and enemies on your mind by wicked works. He's writing this to the Gentiles who'd come to Christ, who didn't have a covenant with God, who knew nothing of God prior to Paul going and preaching to them after Christ had revealed himself to Paul. Paul's running around trying to kill Christians, and God says, hey, I need you. Get out here. 17 years later, Paul's out on the road doing what God had called him to do. He taught him personally. It's just incredible. But he's reconciled you in the body of his flesh. Man, reconciled, brought back to the Father that we've been separated from since Adam because of the sin of mankind, and still separated if we continue to stay that way. But he's able then through that covenant meal we had today, man, it blows me away when we get communion, because I just rejoice in what Christ has done. I don't think of him dying and suffering and in a tomb. I think of him resurrected at the right hand of the Father, fully able, capable, and done what he said he was going to do, per giving us the fullness of his new covenant through the blood. This blood is a new covenant, or this cup is a new covenant, my blood. Man, I tell you what. He's made us through that death holy. Do you feel holy today? Do you feel blameless, or are you still feeling guilty over something? Do you feel, I'm blameless. No one can point the finger. I'm not guilty. I've said that before. Beyond reproach or irreprovable, unreprovable in his sight. The devil can go to God and say, hey, you see what Ken's up to? Oh, I see the blood on his life. Oh, isn't that great? That's my kid. Holy, irreprovable, without blame, unblameable. And the devil can't get around God because he puts the blood on our lives. He sees us through that blood. Isn't that awesome? Holy, unblameable, and irreprovable, beyond reproach in his sight, if you continue in the faith. Notice a little if there. A little if. If you continue fully furnished in faith, grounded, steadfast. Wow. Look at that. And not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven. Man, if we begin to doubt anything at all of God, we're pulling that door open for the devil to have a go at us, because God cannot protect us if we're dumb enough to allow him access in any way, shape, or form. We should not be ignorant of his devices and give him no grounds whatsoever to be able to access, kill, steal, kill, or destroy anything in our lives. Whew, man, next one. Therefore, since you already know these things, be on your guard so you will not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure standing, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, which is honor, majesty, and splendor, both now and to the day of eternity. Many of Paul's salutations say things like, And to him be glory in the church, both now and forevermore. He wants the church, I think Kerry said it, I'm not sure, but he wants the church to be a church of glory, not a church of shallowness, not a church of sin, sickness and disease, not a church of defeat, not a church of not knowing God. And I'm telling you what, the lies of the devil have permeated the church round the planet, and they haven't got a clue who Jesus is. They have not got a clue what his word says. They haven't got a clue about standing in the as a righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. They haven't got a clue what it is to be a new creature in Christ Jesus, holy, unblameable, and irreprovable in his sight, because they haven't furnished themselves and added to their faith all of the attributes of God said to. Mind-boggling, isn't it? I think that's the last one, isn't it? No, it's a song next. Oops. A lot of people know the chorus to this song. Did I put the words on there, Anthony? Yeah, I did. It was written by a guy named Andre Crouch. And you've probably heard the chorus because I think I've sung it a couple of times here. Get to the chorus. I expect you up on your feet singing along with me. How can I say thanks for all the things you've done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee. To God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God be the glory for the things he has done. With his blood he has saved me, with his power he has raised me. To God be the glory for the things he has done. Just let me live my life, let it be pleasing, Lord, to thee. Should I gain any praise, let it go to Calvary. Oh, with his blood he has saved me, with his power he has raised me. To God be the glory for the things he has done. Thank you, Lord. To God be the glory. He came to find a church and present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And the only way we're going to be that church is that we cannot be ignorant of Satan's devices, fully furnished, fully on guard, fully prepared, fully laden up with the power of God to take on the onslaught of the enemy at any time. Stand, stand, stand. Don't let the devil attack your family. Don't let a devil attack your relationships. Don't let the devil attack anything in your life that you treasure, that you now have in him as a child of God. It's so important that we stay strong, fixed, firm, and steadfast, not moving away from the gospel that we have heard, as Paul wrote in that New Testament. What we need to do is make sure that word, let the word of Christ dwell in you to some degree. Now, what's it say? Anyone know what the next word is? Dwell in you what? Richly. Richly. I've caught you out. Go home and read your Bibles. Bless you. Have an awesome week. And I trust that that word has been a powerful word that's enabled you to reassess and rethink and say, okay, there is no way I'm going to be subjected to the wiles of the devil any longer. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am armed and dangerous, and he better look out in Jesus' name. Amen.